The epistle reading comes from the letter of James, reading from chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. 'Tis the morning before Christmas, the fourth Sunday in Advent, and everybody's stirring and asking, where has the month went? Here we are, all bedecked and bedazzled for the most special of days. Behold, the preacher drones on, our eyes, how they glaze. For dancing in our heads are visions of family and holly and the presents we'll get. We are all ready. But oh no, the preacher says, not yet. Here we are on an unusual day that happens about once every 7 years or so. It is Sunday, December the 24th. But the church calendar says it is Advent 4, not Christmas Eve morning. Today is only 3 days removed from the shortest day of the year, but for everybody from 2 to 92, these last hours before Christmas make this the longest day of the year. It's hard to wait, and the temptation is to get on with it, to finish off the Advent season and claim the joys and fulfillment of Christmas. We're almost there, aren't we? What are a few more days, a few more hours anyway? Can't we just consider this Christmas Eve morning? I must sound like the biggest Scrooge of all if I insist, not yet. Yes, we're almost there. The waiting is almost over. The operative word is almost. We've let more than a few Christmas carols sneak in ahead of time, but we're not yet to Christmas Eve. And these last few hours may be the most important of all. Think if you were flying on an airliner. Some of your family that are here visiting may have flown in. The plane takes off and ascends rapidly. When it comes time to land, though, there is this long, slow descent. Would you rather, the pilot announce, since we're almost there, I'm taking the last 20,000 feet in 30 seconds. Don't you think it's better to take your time in making the transition from flying to landing? So before the unrestrained joys of Christmas, let's take one more look, pause for one more introspective thought before moving on. Let's view these last hours as the calendar's blessing to us, to remind us to take in the full drama and scope of the Jesus story. On this fourth Sunday in Advent, we are reminded the birth of Jesus signals the old is passing. Before something new can emerge, the old must go. Christ's coming is the beginning of the end of the old order. In the Hindu religion, one of the most popular and beloved gods is Shiva, the Lord of Life. Shiva is also known as the Destroyer. Shiva is the Hindu god who destroys the existing cosmic age so another one can emerge. Now, we might not like the thought of Jesus as the destroyer, but the coming of Jesus does signal the destruction of old ways of life so that new ones can take birth. Even the evangelists struggled with the concept of Jesus as destroyer. In Matthew, Jesus is said to come to fulfill the law, that is, to fulfill the Hebrew faith of his birth. But also in the Gospels, we read that Jesus says, "I come to destroy the old." Either way you look at it, the coming of Jesus signals that the old order of things is on the way out, and a new way is coming. 20th century theologian Paul Tillich, in a sermon reflecting on the old and the new, wrote, "The new in history always comes when people least believe in it. But certainly the new comes only in the moment when the old becomes visible as old and tragic and dying, and when no way out is seen. We live in such a moment. Such a moment is our situation." Paul Tillich gave the Sprunt Lectures at Union Seminary in 1953, but I don't think he ever made it over here to Carey Street Road. But boy, does he ever hit our nail on its head. Many of the controversies we read in the gospel center on the conflict between the old and the new, and Jesus' place in the existing, that is, the old scheme of things. Religious people say to Jesus, "Doesn't the law say not to murder or steal, and don't such commandments sum up our religious obligation to God and neighbor?" To whom Jesus replies, "To heck with the old ways. God expects even more out of you than any law can state." Throughout his ministry, Jesus calls for a new day in our relationship with God and neighbor and declares the old ways just don't cut it. In other words, out with the old and in with the new. So on this fourth Sunday in Advent, we are reminded of the dynamic between the old and the new. We are reminded, too, that Christmas Eve is but the preface of that which is to come. That is, Jesus' mission and message are not fulfilled simply by his being born. In fact, our beloved birth stories were added to the Jesus story very late in the gospel writing process. The church only got interested in Jesus' birth after it came to understand the meaning of Jesus' death. The earliest recollections of faith were about what Jesus taught and what he did for us and what God in Jesus does for us. And frankly, none of that happens on Christmas Eve. That is Lent and Easter stuff. Christmas is just the start. The opening ceremony before the Olympic Games begin. The celebration of that which is to come. And what is to come is the hard work of living the Christian life 365 days a year, and not just for a few hours on Christmas Eve. Traditionally, for African American churches, the most holy night of this season is not tonight, but a week from tonight, New Year's Eve. Next Sunday night, while most Americans will be reviling away the old year and welcoming in the new, many African Americans will spend their New Year's Eve in church for a watch night service. For African Americans, New Year's Eve is a time for prayer and remembrance of the scandalous pain of slavery and prayerful recollection of all who have suffered and died to make these people free. Sounds vitally important, but why do that on New Year's Eve? New Year's Eve is sacred because it was on New Year's Day, 1863, that President Abraham Lincoln signed and issued the Emancipation Proclamation. On that day, the course of the American experience was changed with one stroke of a pen. Those who had been enslaved were proclaimed to be free. Of course, it wasn't that easy. Another 15 months of war followed, and the 4 years of civil war became more than 100 years of continuing struggle for civil rights. Their freedom was not yet achieved on January the 1st, 1863, but the promise of freedom at the end of the sacrifice of the Civil War was forever sealed. Now, those of us who are not directly a part of the African Americans' experience can never fully grasp the importance of the Emancipation Proclamation. But tonight, on Christmas Eve, we give thanks that through the birth of Jesus, God proclaims our emancipation from sin, our emancipation from brokenness, our emancipation from the power of darkness and death. On Christmas Eve, the angels proclaim the coming of our freedom through Christ. But our freedom in Christ has not yet been fully realized, not today, not even on Christmas Eve, not yet. We do not yet have our freedom through Christ. That is what Easter is all about. On Christmas Eve, with the angels, we can proclaim we are free, but we are not yet fully free. And that is why this fourth Sunday in Advent is so very important, to remind us that we are not yet fully free from the power of sin. We are not yet free from our own self-imposed bondage to addictions. We are not yet free of harmful behaviors. We are not yet free of the personal and private agonies of soul and spirit. We are not yet free. We are dependent on God's beautiful grace to bring us to the freedom of new and productive life. We are not yet free. We are as dependent on God as a newborn baby is dependent on her parents. This morning we heard the reading of the Magnificat, the Song of Mary. It is the prayerful song and witness of the pregnant Mary, the one person, the one woman, who fully embodied both the promise and the fulfillment of Jesus. More than any person before or since, Mary knew the full weight of pregnant expectation of the advent of Jesus. The child she carried was the promised one who would deliver his people from their sins. And the child she carried was the fulfillment of all human hopes and aspirations. Like every mother-to-be, Mary was no doubt excited, but at times also weary. Mary knew the meaning of not yet. When Mary sings her song, it is a song of expectant promise not yet fulfilled. As Luke writes, the time had not yet come for her to deliver her child, which serves to keep us in touch today with our yearnings for that promise to be fulfilled. So this morning, this fourth Sunday in Advent, let us be thankful for what God has done and is doing for us. Tonight, let us join the angel's song. But this morning, let us sing for joy with Mary, praising God for the new day for humankind that is dawning in the one whose birth we await. Let us offer our prayers to the God who has not yet given up on us, and may the words of our songs be the prayers of our hearts. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Amen.